consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi out there. Today's topic is dollars and cents, but because it's my show, before I start that, I want to rant a little bit. Last week, my topic was romancing the home. I talked about the qualities of a home that will bring a couple closer together. After the show, I was looking at email, came across the announcement of Custom Home Magazine's 2012 award-winning homes. The winner in the 3,000 to 5,000 square foot category was a contemporary shed roof box. And it violated about everything that I talked about. At first, it was stark, not warm in color or materials. And then the kitchen was isolated from the living area. The kitchen was on one end of the house with the dining room, then the foyer, then the living area. To sit in the kitchen, to work in the kitchen and talk to someone in the living space, you had to shout around the corner. So obviously, as I talked about last week, not the best way to bring people together. Then you go into the master bedroom. The master bath, the space is fairly small. The master bath did not have a door between the bedroom and bathroom. And as you sat on the bed, you could sit there and watch somebody sitting on the toilet. That's about as unromantic as I could imagine. Further, when you stood up, there was a half wall separating the master bedroom from the bath. And you looked over that half wall at a clear glass shower in the middle of the floor, which means you looked over that half wall and pretty much the person taking the shower was on show. You know, when you see these magazines and you see things in the print, what the media shows is not necessarily what is good. Sometimes it's really quite bad, at least from my belief, that you use a home to bring a couple together and not tear them apart. And I think what it says is that you need to think for yourself and not let other people do your thinking for you. So that's my rant. Now, back to today's topic, dollars and cents. The home for most of us, our home is our largest asset. It's, you know, and in fact, for most of us, the home is the basis for all of our net worth. And one way of doing it, one way is just to look upon a home as an investment, same way you would stocks or bonds. If you look at a home as an investment, it has some big advantages. I can think of 5. The first big advantage is leverage. When you buy a stock, if you buy a stock for $100, you pay $100 for it. Sometimes, yes, you can leverage stock, but you can only leverage it 50%. And even that's not a good idea. When you buy a home, if you buy a $300,000 home, you don't pay $300,000. You pay a down payment and you borrow the rest. That's called leverage. On a 300,000, well, in the old days where you did prudent mortgages, the idea was that you borrowed 80% and you put 20% down. That was safe. It meant for the lender, the house could decrease in value 20% and they were still protected. And it meant for the homeowner, you had a stake in the house. Now, some days, we still are looking at 20% down. Sometimes you can get 10% with VA and such. You may be able to get 5% down. But let's look at 20%. On a $300,000 mortgage, $300,000 house, you put $60,000 down. Houses return. If you've looked historically over the last 100 years, houses historically return 5% a year increase in value. That means that if you took that $60,000 and you invested it in a stock that earned 5% over that year, you'd make $3,000. If you take that $60,000 and you invest it in a house and leverage it 80%, then the house is worth $300,000 and a 5% increase in value is $15,000. That means that the same investment in the stock earns you $3,000. The same investment in the house leveraged earns you $15,000. Or 25% return on the $60,000 that you invested. So in concept, a house, because you can leverage it, can be a much better investment than the stock market. And for the most part, that holds true with the same caveat that there is about the stock market, which is you buy low and you sell high. If you have to sell your house when the market is down, you don't make money or you lose money. If you have to sell a stock when the market is down, you don't make money or lose money. If you bought a stock in 2007 and then the market crashed, hit bottom in 2009, and you had to sell in 2009, you lost about 50% of the value of your stock. If you didn't have to sell and you just held on to it, then this past month, we actually were higher than we were in 2007 and you lost nothing. Same thing holds true for houses. If you bought a house in 2000 and you went to sell it today, you probably would break even or make money. Because between 2000 and 2012, that house should have appreciated on average 5% a year. If you bought the house in 2000 and sold it in 2006, when we had this big jump up in prices, you had a big win. You know, it was fantastic. If you were the person who bought that house in 2006 and now you had to sell it in 2012, you probably lost a lot of money. A house is the same as any other investment. The timing of when you buy and when you sell has a big impact on whether you make money or lose money. But with leverage, you can make a whole lot more money year after year from a house than you can even from investing in the stock market. Second benefit of the second benefit to your house as an investment is that you get to use it. This is intangible, but it's true. It's one of the few investments that you actually get to enjoy every day. Compare it to buying gold. You buy a chunk of gold, you'll probably put it in a safety deposit box and never see it. You know, it's you don't get to use it, you don't get to enjoy it. One of the alternatives that exist is that you could invest in stocks and live in the rental house. How does that work? Well, you take the same $60,000 we described above, and instead of using it as a down payment on the house, you put it in the stock market. And now you go out and you rent a place to live. One tendency you have is to rent less. I was meeting with a client today, and they live in quite a nice house, but they're going to sell that house before they start construction of their new house. As he expressed to me, if it's a rental, I don't care where I live, and I'm not going to spend nearly the money I would on a mortgage. So there is a tendency to rent less, which means you have a less enjoyable place to live. The other fact is that when you rent, you're throwing the money away. Once you write that rent check, it's gone. But let's take the example that if you were going to pay a $2,000 a month mortgage payment, instead you probably would rent for no more than $1,500 a month. And as I said, you don't get to enjoy your investment. The other question is, what do you do with that $500 that you saved by not paying a mortgage payment and paying the rent instead? If you're very wise and prudent, you save that money. You put it in a bank account or you put it in the stock market. However, most of us, the tendency is to spend that money to, you know, go out and have a couple nice dinners just to feel I've got $500 more in my pocket and spend it. Okay, the third advantage of a home as an investment is that each month you bank equity in the home. That $2,000 mortgage payment, even if you have a 30-year loan, a little bit of that payment each month goes to equity. Typically on the $2,000 mortgage payment, about $300 a month from the first day goes to equity. That's just like writing yourself a check for $300 and putting it in your savings account. Every day, every month, you reduce the debt on the home, you increase the equity. That's the third advantage. And the fourth advantage is that the tax code actually subsidizes your investment. Home ownership is a fantastic societal benefit. So about 50 years ago, the federal government decided that they wanted to encourage it, and they set up the tax code to do so. Societal benefits, it gives a sense of ownership, it gives you stability in your community, and it spreads wealth, and it's the biggest wealth-spreading vehicle that we have in this country. So when we come back from break, I'll go into why, how the tax code subsidizes your investment and what a great deal it is.
News, opinion, passion. Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leah Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun. Sarah and her guy Friday, Anthony, will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, welcome back. Okay, most of us probably just finished our taxes. And if you own a home with a mortgage, you probably paid a lot less taxes than the person who didn't. That's because in our government's, you know, good intentions, they decided to subsidize the mortgage interest. On top of that, so we deduct mortgage interest, we also deduct property tax. Now, let's take that $2,000 mortgage payment that we talked about above. The mortgage interest, when you're starting out of that, is about $1,300 a month. The property tax is $200 or $300 a month. So about $1,500 of that $2,000 mortgage payment is tax deductible, or $18,000 a year. If you're in a 25% tax bracket and you live in Texas, Texas doesn't have, and Florida don't have state income tax. So the only thing counts there is the federal tax. If you're in the 25% tax bracket, as most of us are, that means that Uncle Sam gives you back $400 a month of that $2,000 mortgage payment. Means that you're only paying the equivalent of $1,600 a month instead of $2,000. If you live in North Carolina like I do, here the state income tax is 7.5%. That means that now you're getting back almost 33% if you're in the 25% tax bracket. And that means that now of your $2,000 mortgage payment, the government is paying $500 of it. This means that just purely from a tax basis and a net end of year cost, that $2,000 mortgage payment costs the same thing as the $1,500 a month rent payment. Add to that what I discussed above, which is that you start off paying each month about $300 into the equity. Means that $2,000 mortgage payment costs you about $1,200 a month in net after-tax cost. So possibly less than you would pay if you lived in an apartment. Great investment reason to invest. And at this point, just let me do an aside. This show is about dream homes. And a lot of you are sitting out there and you're thinking about your first home. Your first home is almost never your dream home. Your first home is a start. It's a place to live and a chance to build equity. the first home, the value of the first home is getting into the market. You get into the market, and almost always, give it a few years, you build up equity. You then can take that equity, sell that first house, and buy another. Move up. That second home may be your dream home. It may be the third, fourth, or fifth home. But each one, if each one is an investment and you make money on each one, then it's very quickly you'll get your dream home status. Of course, dream home is different for each of us. Then the fifth reason, the fifth way that a home is a great investment is that you have the ability to affect how good of an investment it is. If you buy a stock, the only way you can affect how good of an investment it is when you buy it and when you sell it. If you can buy low and sell high, it's a great investment. If you buy it in 2007 and sell it in 2009, it was a lousy investment. But that was all you could do. With a house, you can do so much more than that. And actually, I've got a really good story about this, which I'll start right after the next break. Because again, I seem to have talked my way through a session.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Tune in for encouraging and motivational stories every week on Minding Your Business, Living Life Beyond Invisible Barriers. Your host, Dr. David A. Blender, brings together guests from all walks of life who not only have found personal and professional success, but who are committed to help you achieve success. Each week, and with each story, we strive to change the world a little bit at a time. Minding Your Business, Living Life Beyond Invisible Barriers is broadcast live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety. Tune in to The Hoffman Connection for inspiration, a life of passion and purpose. Hosts Raz Ingrassi and Ed McClune will bring you ways to remove the blocks in your life that are holding you back. Along with their guest experts, Raz and Ed will use their experience and expertise to help you learn to get closer to what matters to you most. And by doing so, improve your life and the lives of others. The Hoffman Connection can be heard live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipparch@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay. Right now I'm talking about how you can affect your home as an investment the way you can't with a stock or a bond or gold. Let's tell a story. About 6 or 7 years ago, right at the height of the housing boom, I was working with a couple on a major upgrade of their home. They had a 30-year-old contemporary home that had a lot of nice features to it, but had, you know, was starting to show its age and had some functional problems. So I met with them, went through, and we identified some goals. We wanted to replace all of the single-pane windows on the house with double-paned. We wanted to fix the roof and fix all the things that were wrong with it. Wanted to make the entrance stronger and replace the kitchen, open the kitchen up to the family room, and then finally add a master bedroom suite. So took these goals, came up with preliminary plans, came up with a cost of about $400,000. The existing house, as is, they could put on the market for $450,000. And so $450,000 plus $400,000 in New York, in New York. Now, and I tell all of my clients this, okay, at this point, stop. Let's go out on the market and see what we can buy for the same $850,000. You know, you don't know. You may find that you really can't buy anything that's comparable for that price, or you may find that you can buy a lot more. If you can go out in the market and buy more for the same money, then usually it makes sense to buy it rather than to try and renovate. So we went out on the market, and what we found was a hidden gem. We found a house that should have sold for $1.4 million and was now on the market, and they just marked it under $1 million. And so we compared the two and looked at them, and they decided to buy that house rather than to renovate their existing house. Why? Well, the existing house was in a good neighborhood that they liked. But if they did the renovation, then their house would be one of the most expensive in the neighborhood. It would be striking. It would be beautiful. It would be at the top of the neighborhood. If they sold it as soon as the renovation was finished, I believe they could have gotten their money back out, but not more. The new house that we found was actually in the best neighborhood in town. And even at that price, close to $1 million and more, it was in the middle of the neighborhood rather than at the top end of the neighborhood, which meant that, and plus buying it in this manner, the same $850,000 into it, plus or minus, if they had to sell it in the near future, it should be worth more. So that being said, we did not do the renovation, sold the house. They sold the house. It sold immediately. And bought the new house. what went wrong with this house? Why was a house that should have sold for $1.4 million now under $1 million? The biggest mistake they made was marketing. And in fact, when I look at homes, I find that most often the biggest mistake made is marketing. In this case, what they did is, this is $1.4 million house, and it went on the market at $1.7 million. The high end of the market, anything over about $700,000. It doesn't matter how many rooms it has. It doesn't matter what bells and whistles it has. It matters how it feels, the aesthetics. In any house, you don't know when you first build a house how the market will view it, what it's really worth. The only time you find that out is when you put it on the market, when it goes up for resale. So here was a house that was a great $1.4 million house. It was competing in the $1.7 million house competition. Any buyer identifies 10 houses, approximately, 10 houses in his price range, and then picks the best one. That means that if this house is competing in the $1.7 million competition, it's never going to be the best one for $1.7 million. So it went through a whole selling season from March to September and sat. People looked at it and people rejected it. So at the end of the selling season, they dropped it to $1.4 million. What it should have sold for initially. Now, people look at it with a different mind frame. They know the house has been on the market for 6 months. So they walk in and their thought is, what is wrong with it? The thought has been placed in their mind that there is something wrong with this house and they are looking to find it. Most people can't exactly figure out what it is. But once you start questioning, you know, it's hard to believe. Okay, what was wrong with it? Now that they had moved out, now that it was down to the right price, what was wrong with it? The first thing is that the people had moved out and they'd taken all the furniture out of the house. So it was a bit more impersonal, a bit colder. Then the big thing was every color decision on this house was white. Think about it. Every color is white. So they have a kitchen, and this is a big house. It's 6,000 plus square feet on 3 or 4 levels. It has a big kitchen. In fact, the kitchen was too big, and everything in it was white. The floors were white. The cabinets were white. The countertops were white. The kitchen was too far away. I talked in the last show about putting where you dine, casually dine, in the kitchen or very close to it. Here, inexplicably, there was a chunk of space in between the kitchen and the breakfast area. So the breakfast area was 10 steps away from this overly large kitchen. You went up to the master bedroom. The master bedroom had white cabinets in it. Beyond that, you walked into the master bath. And first of all, it was too big. And it was all white. So it was all white, very stark and cold and awkward. With another thing I talked about, that clear glass shower in the middle of the room. Anyway, now that people were looking for it, they saw the problems with the house. So it didn't sell. It dropped to 1,000,002. It didn't sell. Dropped to 1,000,001. Didn't sell. Dropped to $1,000,000. Still did not sell. And right below 1,000,000 is where my clients found out about it. Or actually, they've been watching it for a year and watching it come down in value. It's a very impressive house. And everybody looks at it and says, what's wrong with it? My clients came, asked me to go with them to look at it and to figure out what was wrong with it and whether what was wrong with it was big enough to make it not worth buying. We went and we looked at it. Okay, you go into the kitchen. You change some of the elements. Maybe you change the floor from white. The cabinets, you make them, you know, wood cabinets instead of white. Change the countertop. That's fairly easy. You move the breakfast room into that strange space beside the kitchen and turn what was the breakfast room into a family room. Now you're starting to work for a more friendly place. Plus, there was a sunroom to the outside. We opened the kitchen up to that. Again, we're starting to work for a more friendly place. That's about $50,000. Went upstairs, and we cozy up the master bath. Again, we take some of the white things, and we give them color. We actually just simply put some rugs in there that have some color and some accessories. Changed the clear glass in the shower. And then we go through the house, change some of the white carpets to something else, paint some of the rooms. So another $50,000. So far we've spent $100,000 on fairly easy things. Then lastly was just the idea that if you put furniture, it had beautiful formal rooms. If you just put beautiful furniture in there that was of the quality and scale of the house, it would show much better. So I also advised him on about $50,000 worth of new furniture that would really show off the house well. They did these things, and where did they end up? They end up spending about the same $850,000 that they would have spent on their old house and renovating it. But now they've got a house that's 1.5 times the size and very impressive. Okay, now we get to 2012. The kids go to college. They're in a 6,000-plus square foot house, and it's too big. They decide to downsize. The market in this area is recovering. In fact, it's getting really quite good at the lower prices. It's still soft above $1,000,000. They put the house on the market at a little bit less than it should have gone on the market back in 2006, but close to that same number. And they expected to, you know, spend 6 months and see whether it sold. It sold in the first week. And they were shocked. They had fixed the things that turned buyers off, and they had priced it right. And they bought a house at the top of the market. They sold it in a lousy market, and they made a substantial profit. Further, talked about leveraging before. They leveraged the house. So if they put $200,000, $300,000 of equity into it, then their profit on their equity was even more substantial and could even approach 100% return on their investment. Great idea about, you know, so that's just a story that tells you how you can proactively make a home into an even better investment. now there's, you know, just continue the story though. Now, suddenly they're searching for another home and living in an apartment. They're doing something I think is very wise, is they're taking their architect, me, with them to every house they look at with the same questions. What is right about this house and what is wrong about it? And how does it work as a home that we'll love? And how does it work as an investment? There's an interesting thing about money. If you look at who has made money and who is wealthy in our society, almost never are the people whose goal in life is to make money, almost never are they the people who actually end up making money. The people who end up making money are people who find something that they enjoy, something that they believe in and can commit themselves to. And just simply by believing and working extraordinarily hard, they end up being rewarded with money. The same thing holds true in this search for the next house for this couple. It isn't about really finding the best financial deal. It's about finding a home that feels right. It's about finding a home that will be a wonderful place to live for the next part of their life. And, you know, their thinking is, well, when we looked at houses, we looked at a 5-year scenario and until they carry us out of the house feet first scenario, which hopefully is a lot more than 5 years. And it's the same thing. If you buy a house just because it looks like a bargain, it's just like buying a stock that looks like a bargain. Sometimes it really is, and sometimes there was a reason why it was so low priced. You need to trust your instincts. You need to trust some good advice and look for the home that you can make a great house. Because what really, well, here, let me just switch for a little bit. As I was just kind of hinted or told, most people, you know, I'm talking about more than a million dollar home. Most people aren't looking at homes in at that price range. These same principles work if you're talking about $200,000 or $300,000. You look for a home, you can look for a home that is a good investment. But the primary factor there is you look for a home that lives well. Because the best first part of the investment is it going to be a joy to live there? Then you look for a home that aesthetically feels right. There's small things that can affect it. If you are in a room and there are 4 windows in there instead of 3 windows, it doesn't feel as good. The mind likes odd numbers. And aesthetically, that's just a little decision, but a whole bunch of those little decisions add up to a house that really feels good or a house that doesn't. Bottom line is, a home that lives well and a home that feels right, looks good, will always sell for more money and will always sell faster and for more money and will be a better investment, as well as just a great time. Thank you.
Voice America Variety Channel presents a program like no other for those in the field and interested in the field of security and training. On America's front lines of crime and war with Victory Defense Consulting, hosted by J.J. Sutton. Here, listeners are learning about tactical skills and practices that support efficient, smarter, and more enduring skills. You will receive the most up-to-date information about the security and training industry with detailed discussions and select special guests each week. Tune in to On America's Front Lines of Crime and War, Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipparch@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, just as a recap, today's topic is dollars and cents. And just to recap, the underlying point right now is that this is probably a great time to make an investment in housing. Any investment is based upon supply and demand. And as I said before, right now we have a big supply of homes and we have a small demand, which means the prices are low. The prices have dipped below what is the normal price for those houses. And it's a buying opportunity. There is almost no possibility 5 years from now that the prices will be as low as they are right now. In fact, it's just about absolutely guaranteed the house you buy today is going to be worth more in 5 years. And by the same token, the house you don't sell today, if you don't have to sell your house right now, don't. Because the house you sell today will be worth more in 5 years than it is now. In fact, it may be worth more in 2 years than it is now. What I'm looking at in my market, which is Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, is that if you're talking under $300,000, the market is back. We may not be at the absolute peak that we were in 2007, but we're close to it. And homes are selling for almost the same price they were then. As you go higher up the market, it becomes softer. In other words, there is supply and demand is just about equal at $300,000. At $600,000, then in this market at least, the supply is all still pretty much equal with demand. When you get really up there, when you get up to the $800,000 million range, that's where you're still seeing a lot more supply than demand, and you're still seeing some really good deals on houses. And as always, the person who has to sell, you know, is foreclosed or who has to sell right now, is, you know, they have to sell and it's going to be at a low price. So those may be buying opportunities, but the house has to be good. To buy a lousy house just because of a cheap price is a lousy investment. And it will be a lousy investment 5 years from now, unless you know what's wrong with the house and you know how to fix it. You get above $1 million, and even here, the market is really soft, which means that the house, you know, I can think of some houses that should be selling for $2 million, and they'll take $1.5 million right now. If you're in that market, then this is a great time, but I look around me, and if it's a desirable house in a desirable neighborhood here, it's gone. And there are no bargains. So I think that the overall market, in fact, I read three different articles this week in the builder trade magazines that the market has turned, that we've hit bottom, and the supply of houses is coming back in line with the demand. There are a few things that really make me believe this. We have not built many houses for the last 5 years. Typically, we'd build, I'm trying to think of the number off the top of my head. Typically, we'd build 2 million houses a year. At the peak, we were building 3 million houses a year. Now we're building 400,000 houses a year, which means if supply is over time constant at 1.5 million houses, then we spent the last 5 years not meeting the demand. That's going to catch up with us. The projections are in the next 30 years, the country is going to grow by 100 million people. We're going to need 40 million new housing units. Right now, we're not building anywhere near that number of housing units. So in a very short time, we're going to see this supply and demand curve reverse. It's just kind of saying, okay, people, it's time to get off the pot, because this is a short window of buying opportunity, and then it goes back. The same thing holds true for builders. We've already seen the supplies, materials, come back to normal. The material suppliers have constricted their what they produce so that it meets the demand, and those prices are back to normal. We still have a surplus of labor. So labor prices, subcontractor prices, are slightly below normal, which means if you're going to build or you're going to renovate, you can do it today for probably 10, 15% less than it's going to be in the near future. Just something to think about. Oh, next week, my show, I jumped back and forth. Last week was psychology of the home. This week is dollars and cents. Next week, we jump back to the psychology of the home. And what I'll really talk about is the elements of the home that first, how do we figure out what is unique to us? What makes our dream home? And then how do we introduce joy into the house, laughter into the house, and love into the house? Because really, you know, if we think about it, we can improve and increase each one of these in our homes. And that's next week. Okay. Before I leave, just let me, I received an email from Janet in Durham. And she asked, this is from last week's show, is there any way to make my current dwelling a dream home, or do I have to start from scratch? Each dwelling is a dream home. It can be your dream home. It just depends on the elements in it and your attitude towards it. So for one person, a dream home is 10,000 square feet with every bell and whistle, including an indoor basketball court. For another person, a dream home is 1,200 square feet of cozy cubbyholes. That you decide for yourself. But yes, your home can. I met with a couple this week, and the talk was, how do you make the master bedroom into something special that will bring them together? We can do that. We can do it, you know, little things. Put the toilet in the compartment. Get rid of the clear glass walls. Give it more closet space. give them some privacy from each other in the bathroom. At the same time, we bring them together. Give them a sense of security in the bedroom that it doesn't now have. We can do all of this in an existing home. In fact, it's harder to do in an existing home, and you need more expertise there. It's a harder puzzle than in building something brand new. But two shows from now, my talk is about what is the value of an architect, and that's the value of an architect, is we can figure out how to do this for you. We can figure out how to get your dream home, even if it is in your existing home, and even if you only have $10,000. See you next week. Thank you.
Again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.